Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, which dwells and is forever, Lord. Father, this morning we just yield to you. We surrender to your will. Holy Spirit, come take control. And let that will, the will of our Father, be done in us, in this earth, and in this place as it is in heaven. We thank you this day. You're going to give us our daily bread. And you do give us our daily bread every day, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and for saving us, setting us free from the yoke of bondage. And, Lord, we're not going back to be entangled with that yoke of bondage any longer, Lord. We're done with it. It's over with. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. Now you have your way. We are your people. This is your time. Let what happens here this morning edify, comfort, exhort, and build up in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many are ready to give God His tithes and our offerings? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, amen. We give with joy and hilarity. How cool is that? God tells us to give, and His whole purpose for that was a channel and a way to give back to us, and it's fun to watch God do supernatural things in people's lives from obedience. Amen? Hallelujah.
Yes, Heavenly Father, obedience is what we really need to do towards you, because we may not see it that way, but that's a blessing to you,
Amen.
Heavenly Father, when we do what you want us to do.
Yes.
And we ask you to bless each and every person that's here today, even though our number is small. We know the Holy Spirit is here with us. And we're here with open ears to hear what you have for us today, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless this offering that we are about to receive. And we ask you to be with those that aren't here today. We ask you to comfort them and keep them safe.
Amen.
In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. We give honor to your word this morning. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for delivering us, for calling us and grafting us into your family, Lord, to the family of God, for making it possible, Lord. Now, Lord, we just give heed to your word. We say we have ears to hear, and we receive now what you have for us today in Jesus' name by an act of our will and desire in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I didn't get a chance to finish what I was going to say, so I want to do this real quick before I get into this. You know, we watch all the stuff happening in Washington. There are some people who would think, you know, that, Bill, you're goofy. Why in the world would you ever think that Obama could get saved? Why would I not? And that was the point that I was trying to make with the Arabs. Who would have thought? Listen carefully now. Looking at the appearance of what's going on and the trouble we've had all these many years with those people and their attitude. But the point is that God promised in His Word, because they are the half-brother of Isaac, that He had a place for them also, just like He does for the Jewish people who He's put His mark on and that are going to return to Him and confess Him as Messiah, as well as those who have already done so. Amen? So I just wanted to say that. I'm excited. And if we don't have hope, then what are we doing here? If we don't have hope in God, hope goes beyond what you can see. The Bible says, why do you hope for what you can see? Hope comes from what you can't see, but the promises that you know are there. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this is Mother's Day. And I want to correlate just a couple of scriptures, but I want to talk about this, you know, about mothers for just a moment before I get into what God's shown me from His Word. You know, what we see in a woman who's really a mother who's really a mother, in other words, not just the incubation machine for hatching humans, but there's care and there's love and there's sacrifice, and there's a desire to bless her family, to make things comfortable for them, And I'm very aware of the sacrifices that my mom and dad made for us, but my mom especially, even at the age of 93. And if the Lord allows, we're going to see her turn 94 in December. But the point is that I've seen and I understand the sacrifices that she's made. And I know the times that she spent in prayer, even now, for her family and for people that she loves. And this is a type and shadow of God and the Lord Jesus. A mother cares for and nurtures in many ways her children and even her husband, her family. And if there ever was what you might want to call a thankless job, in some cases, maybe a lot of cases, that would be the thankless job. It's too easy to take for granted the love of God, but also the love and the type and shadow that a mother is in the light of God, to point to the Lord, to point to His goodness, and to point to how much He loves you and I. A mother never stops loving. Never stops loving. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, a mother, she may get a broken heart, but she never stops loving. And that's like our Lord. He may get a broken heart, but He never stops loving. He never stops having good thoughts for you and I. Amen? So if we stop and look at this and evaluate this from that aspect, we see that again, a mother is a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus and of the love of God, and is a demonstration, a flesh and blood demonstration of the love of God, the same way that Jesus was. Amen? And the Word says we need to honor our fathers and our mothers. So today, as we honor you ladies that are mothers, and there's not a woman in this room that's not a mother, whether you've actually had children or not, you're still a mother. You know, in some cases, you're grafted in to that vine. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Just like we're grafted into the vine with God, you're grafted into that vine. Amen. And so, we honor you today as we honor God. If you want to turn with me, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 12. Read a few verses, and then I'm going to jump over to chapter verse 31. But it's all out of Romans chapter 8. I want to talk a little bit about that sonship, which is, even though the Scripture uses sonship, we know that that's not gender specific. That's talking about mankind, all mankind. And in verse 12 of chapter 8 of Romans, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For you have lived according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Now, a mother invests her life in teaching you and educating you, hopefully, first of all, in the ways of God, and then in ways that you can live, that you should live. Teaching you the proper etiquette, teaching you the proper manners, so that you can function in society and blend in. Amen? Now, we may not get it perfect, but you have to give an E for effort for those who do the best they know how, and that's all we can do. Amen? That's all God requires, is do the best we know how, but we do it with His help. Hallelujah. The caption above this little area of Scripture here says, "Sonship through the Spirit." And that's what I was talking about when I mentioned the vine a few minutes ago. We're grafted into a vine. And our sonship comes through a vine. We are the creation of God. He is definitely our Father, our Heavenly Father. But we're grafted into that sonship by the acceptance of who He is, what He's done, and His plan for us, knowing that He loved us so much that He sent His Son and He became a sacrifice for us to take away all of the punishment that we should have received and deserved. And I got to thinking about that as I was meditating. I got to thinking about that, how a mother, how Jesus' mother stood by and watched all the stages of His life up until and even through the crucifixion. Proud on the one hand, and yet brokenhearted on the other hand. Proud that He did what God told Him to do. I'm sure she was elated that God chose her. I don't see anywhere in the Word where she flaunted it in anybody's face that God chose her. But proud that she was able to birth the Savior, and watching Him grow up with the same pride that a mother has in her children. And, you know, then watching Him die, the brokenheartedness, which is the same brokenheartedness God has. And the same broken, and you know, over watching us and people throw their lives away. You know what I'm talking about. They refuse to accept Him. They refuse to walk with Him. They refuse to allow Him to come in and make their life. You know, they're out. People are out seeking everything in this world, everything that's not of this world. I mean, dear God, we've had an epidemic of demonic movies come out recently. Seems like on television, on the secular stations, on some of those stations, all you see is vampires and demons and you know, blood sucking and all this garbage that's against God. And so it is in the world. That's an image of what this world is about. Those who reject Jesus. They search for happiness, but they can't find it because they're looking in the wrong place. They're going about it the wrong way. That's exactly right. Well, they are their own God. They're committing adultery and fornication against God. They're doing things that are bleeding them to death, not to life. And the very things that they seek to have, if they would turn to God, they'd have. We know that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of these other things. What are all these other things? Blessings, health, prosperity, happiness. You begin to understand as you seek God first that He has a plan and a thought for you. And that plan is for good and not for evil. Amen? To give us a hope and a future. These people have no hope and they have no future. You know, it's like the attitude, you know, let's eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. No. If that's what you choose, yes. But no, that's not the way that it has to be. Amen? I love that old song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. Amen? Hallelujah. And He's made a way for us. He's made a way for all mankind. But that in itself, if you stop and look at a, you know, these are lives that are wasted and squandered if they don't come to know the Lord. Imagine the heartbreak of a mother. No mother wants to see their child destroyed. But every mother and every father want to see their children thrive and be blessed with all the blessings and to be somebody who makes an impact on this earth. Now, you may not be a president. Excuse me. You may not be, you know, somebody who sits in an office someplace, you know, of high power. But just the fact that you live for the Lord, you become effective in the kingdom of God, and you touch lives. And that is because, and starts with, a mother and a father. Today we're honoring mothers. Amen? She invests in you what's been invested in her. The love. That's one of the first places you learn love. You learn trust. It's through your mother. And what it is, a type and shadow of the love of God, which is manifested in the flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 13 again, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. A mother instills in you those things that, just like the Lord, bring you to a place where you understand proper living, treating people the proper way, where you first learned respect. Amen? And it's what opens the door through that example for you to come to know the Lord in many cases. Amen? How many remember the stories and about the songs and the ballads and stuff that have been sung about a mother who, you know, the radio's full of them, and I love them, where a mother was burning the midnight oil praying, you know? And it's never too late. It's never too late. Thank God. You know why it's never too late? Because there's no time or distance in God. God is a now God. Just like the Scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is. But the first glimpses we get is from a nurturing, loving mother who loves the Lord. And even if she doesn't know the Lord at that point, the point is if she's a good mother, then her whole life is based on your well-being, on getting you to a place where you are the person that she can be proud of, and a person who fits into society and becomes a blessing to society and to people. Amen? That sounds like God. One of the reasons God called us out of darkness was, first of all, the first and foremost thing is because He loved us so much. And He gave the very best that He had. But also because of the fact that He instituted the fact that as we became His kids, we became grafted into that vine, we would be able to go out and be able to share the things that He shared with us and touch lives by the Word and be the example to draw others in. Amen? Praise God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now we know in the natural that we're the children of Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, whoever that is. But this is an area where the spirit overlaps the natural and the natural overlaps the spirit, is the fact that even if you came from a situation where God wasn't the head of that, if you were taught the proper things, you know, God still is the one who says, He says, if your father and mother forsake you, I will take you up. Again, that same kind of love, that never-ending, never-changing, undying love that a mother has for her children and for her family. And how do women operate in that? By God's love, by not understanding God's love in a perfect scenario. By receiving God's love if they didn't know it before. Amen? Hallelujah. And verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Indeed, we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. Now, I just want to add a footnote to that, and that's verse 18, which we all know. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Bible tells us in this world we will suffer tribulation. But He says, be of good cheer. God says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And even though we suffer, mothers suffer watching their children do things and, you know, go through sickness and things that tug at their heartstrings. But God, too, watching people suffer and struggle when they don't need to. And He can bring about a change that will cause you to be that object of pride. I don't mean arrogant pride. I mean proud of what has become of the situation, of your children, of what you've accomplished as a mother and a wife. And the blessing of God is there. Amen. And a mother's love never changes. If she's really a mother, then it never changes and it never dies. And the same thing with God. God's love never becomes obsolete. Amen. Never fails and never stops. Now turn over with me to verse 31 of chapter 8. I want to talk about God's everlasting love. You know, there's a security that comes from having a mother and a father's love. There's a security there. The Bible says there's no fear in love. And as I correlate the two, what I see is when you have a father and mother who love you, then once again we can say, I will not fear what man will do to me. How many of you guys and girls, when you were with your mom or with your dad, you kind of had this feeling of, I'm okay. I'm safe. Why? Because your mom and your dad were there. They demonstrated their love. And you knew that as long as you were with them, you were in a safe place. Amen? You knew that no harm would befall you. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Here's what verse 31 says of Romans chapter 8. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely... Let me see if I got that right. Let me start again. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And there we kind of look at the sacrifices that a mom makes. Times when money was tight and she sacrificed a new pair of shoes so you could have a new pair of shoes. Or something else was sacrificed so there'd be food on the table. Amen? That's an example of God supplying our needs in the natural. But God supplies our needs not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. Do you see the correlation? Are you feeling something about this? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? You're the elect of your family. Why? Because you're their child. Things don't always go the way we'd like them to go. There are problems in some families, even Christian families. But the point is, we have to look beyond that, and we have to cling to the hope that we have in God, that God has a purpose and a plan. God has good thoughts for us. And while we may have suffered in some way, God never forsook us, and He's not the one who did those things to us. And so we have to have compassion the way a mother has compassion and pities her children. How many times did you go out and get a boo-boo and came running in and mom was right there to kiss it and to clean it up and put a Band-Aid on it and make you feel better? Amen? Keep it from getting infected or whatever. Amen? And that's the way God is. If we're God's elect, and that means if we've received Him and we're His kids, we're walking in the kingdom of God. Remember, it's a walk. Then who can bring a charge against us? Who can point a finger at us? And yet the enemy's out there through jealousy, through envy, to point a finger. Well, you had what I never had. No, I have what you could have. Maybe not in the natural, but in the spiritual, if you'll turn your life over to God. And I attribute what I have not to anything except the grace and mercy of God and the fact that He got a hold of my parents and your parents and they were taught you. And if they didn't, The point is, God still became and was that Father to you and brought you into that place where you knew Him and now made you the child that you always wanted to be and gave you the benefits of the things you always wanted to have as His child. Amen? Perspective, in many ways, in fact, is probably one of the most important things in our walk with God, is our perspective. The have-nots or the haves. Now, we hear about that in the world. You know, they talk about that, you know. Talk about the golden rule of the world. We know what that is, the golden rule of the flesh. He who has all the gold makes all the rules. No. But the point is, we have the blessings. God has bestowed His love on us. And He has, in some of our cases, brought that love through our parents and brought us to the knowledge of Him, or instilled things in us that made us a good person, even if we didn't have that spiritual knowledge from them. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? And that's very important. It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And there again, we're talking about why does a mother and father spend time on their knees for us to make intercession for us? Because they have thoughts and plans. They have aspirations for us. Most parents that I know, myself included, wanted better for their kids than what they had. Not that I had it bad, because I didn't. I mean, there were times as a kid, you know, where your wanter got overloaded. How many know what I'm saying? Your wanter got overloaded. But the point is that you knew that you were cared for and loved because you had the things that were necessary. Amen? And again, that's through sacrifice. I don't know anybody in this room that was born to a wealthy family. But we're here. And look where we are now. And yet really we are the offspring of the one who's the most wealthy of anybody anywhere. Amen? Because He owns it all. Somebody says, you know, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we forget that He owns the hills too. And He's the one signing the checks. Amen? Hallelujah. He's up there making intercession for us the same way, the same example that our moms and our loved ones have prayed for us. We're talking about moms today specifically. And then the question's asked in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's able to break that bond of love with your mother? What's able to? You know, even in the most horrendous family situations out there, you ever notice that no matter how much heartbreak and hurt a child has had, that mother bond, that mother-child bond, is so strong that even though they've been ill done to and ill-treated, they still love their mother because that's my mom. That's my mom. Would that we had the same attitude. Again, not referring to anybody here, but would that we had the same attitude towards God. Understanding that nothing's going to separate us from His love. Amen? And that He really is the one who ultimately has set the example for our parents and hopefully for us when we became parents to perpetuate this throughout eternity, as long as man's on this earth, and again throughout eternity. And then it goes on to elaborate, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, will any of those things separate us? Which of those things is able to separate us from our mother's love? But also, more importantly, and the more important thing is we honor mothers today, even though we see that example, we understand that they got it from their father. their heavenly Father. Amen? I happen to know a little bit about some of the feelings that Kathy has because my son, bless his darling heart, mixed up mine. While he never did anything really, what you would call, you know, if you want to put levels on it, it was never felonious. It was just dumb. He got his switch stuck on stupid. And he ended up incarcerated a couple times, 30, 45 days. And those were those times that I talked about when I told him, I said, Michael, my daughter Joanna, I told the kids, I said, I may not like everything you do, but I will never turn on you, and I will be there to walk through it with you, and we'll get through it, and I will never throw it in your face or use it against you or bring it up again. And that's the way God is. See, that's why it's so important that as children, instead of running from our parents, we run to them. And we follow that example in the kingdom of God. Never run from God, run to Him. Because that's where your hope and your answer and your safety is. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some folks have physical security blankets. And some folks have spiritual security blankets. Knowing where to run, that we're loved, where somebody cares. And the same thing with God. The same example. Did you see how they overlap? What's manifest in the natural is manifest in the spirit, and what's manifest in the spirit is manifest in the natural. God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. None of these outward things spoken of in verse 35 can separate us from the love of God. Verse 36 says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And then in verse 37 it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've never had a time, even... I'll tell you about a couple things. I have never raised a hand in anger to my mother, even though she's made me so mad I couldn't see straight. But one time she was angry at me, and I made her so angry that she swung at me. And you talk about number one, fear, but you also talk about brokenhearted. As she swung at me, she caught her thumb and broke her thumb because all I did was block it. I didn't swing at her. I just, instinct, block it. And she broke her thumb. And you know what? You could have beat me and it would not have hurt as much as knowing that what happened to her was because of me. Because of my anger, and because I provoked her to anger. You hear what I'm saying? And my dad, it didn't take a lot to set him off, but one time, another time, when things were... This was when I was a teenager. I was so angry at something that was going on. I don't think it was my mom this time that had made me angry. I think it was my sisters. And I got... Because it seemed like she was sticking up for them, you know? And I didn't like it, and I got so mad that I punched a hole through the wall. I really taught her something, didn't I? Like to throw my hand, and there's a big hole in the wall. I thought, dear God, I'm going to get the beating I've never had in my life. And yet I didn't. Compassion and pity. Even though my dad was a man who was frustrated and angry, there were times when the compassion was there. You know? He had a short fuse, but there were times when, you know? And I think that part of that has to do with the grace and mercy of my Heavenly Father. Amen? There's not a thing out there that can separate us from the love of our parents. Should not be able to anyway. But there's nothing that can absolutely separate us from the love of God. So today on Mother's Day, as we reflect on these things that we've talked about and read, let's look at that in the light of the blessing that God's given us in our mothers. Amen? The living example We don't have Jesus in this day and age in the physical, but we have him in the spiritual. And the example, the way we're supposed to be to other people, is in our moms and our dads. And then we have the example how we're supposed to be with other people. Amen. My mom got a call yesterday from one of her dear, dear friends from her church. They were the pastors for a while of her church. Orville and I can't think of her name, but it's Sister Freestone, Brother and Sister Freestone. And this lady always calls. And of course, she's getting up in years too. She's not as old as mom, but you know. But everything produces after its own kind. Whatever you sow, in whatever way you sow it, you'll reap a harvest of what you sowed. With a mother, love, respect, proper teaching, that's what is produced in us, or should be produced in us. If not through just what mom does, through the things of the Spirit that you learn. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is not a demonstrative message, but to me it's a very tender message from the heart, about the heart. And one of the biggest hearts out there is a mother. One of the biggest hearts is a mother. And there's nothing in this world like a mother's love. Amen? We're blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do we need to pray about anything? Anybody have anything to say? Anything they want to add? Well, then Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that this touched the hearts and brought some understanding and illumination. And also, Lord, caused us to look at you in a different way and see things in a different perspective. Thank you for the Holy Spirit being here. We give you praise and thanks for this day. And I give you praise and thanks for every person here. Now go with your people. Bless them. If all hearts are clear, Lord, then we just thank you again for this day, for protecting us, for being with us. And we just praise you, Lord. We give you praise and thanks for this day as we honor our mothers. Now, Lord, we sanctify the fellowship and the food, Lord. We thank you for the provision through the food bank. And Lord, we just give you all praise and all glory. Thank you for being who you are, for causing in us the change that brought us to the place of peace and joy and happiness, Lord, and contentment. We praise and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.